A reading from the Evangelist St. John, the first chapter. The next day again, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What are you seeking?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and follow Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which means Peter. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
We have found the Messiah. Can you imagine? I was asked to preach a 5-minute sermon. I wish my students from the seminary could be here, because I don't think that they would believe that I could limit myself to 5 minutes on any topic. But if you are assigned a short sermon, the commemoration of St. Andrew is a pretty good occasion, because Andrew is barely mentioned in the New Testament. When he is mentioned, it's usually just in the long list of the 12 disciples, or on an occasion where he happens to be with some of the other disciples, oftentimes paired with his own brother, Simon Peter, the most well-known of the disciples. Matthew's gospel does not pay much attention to Andrew, other than that Jesus called him to be a disciple, along with Simon Peter, his brother, at the same time. Same with Mark's gospel. When Luke tells that story, he focuses so much on Jesus and Peter that he kind of leaves Andrew out altogether from that scene. And you only find out in the next chapter of Luke, in the listing of all 12 disciples, that Andrew is one of them, and there Luke refers to him as Andrew, Peter's brother. It is in the Gospel of John that Andrew gets some screen time. But here he is always pictured as a humble go-between. When Jesus says that he wants to feed 5,000 people in John 6, Andrew reports to Jesus that there is a boy who has some loaves of bread and fish. In John 12, Jesus has entered into Jerusalem for his final Passover, and some Greeks come to Philip and ask to see Jesus, and Philip, for some reason, goes and tells Andrew, and Andrew and Philip go and tell Jesus. And that's it. It's all the New Testament witnesses to us about Andrew. Except for our reading today from John chapter 1. And here we learn that Andrew, the humble fisherman from Bethsaida, was a follower of John the Baptist. He was John's disciple until the eternal Word of God took on human flesh and came to the Jordan River. Andrew followed John the Baptist until the light of men, the light of life, whom no darkness can overcome, came to the Jordan River. Andrew followed the Baptist until the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, came to the Jordan River. Until John the Baptist himself pointed his bony finger and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," and testified to his disciples that he had seen the Spirit of God come down and rest on this man, and that truly he is the chosen one the Son of God. And even then, it took two times for Andrew. That's where our text picks up today. The next day, John was again standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And one of these two disciples was Andrew. And so with the other, Andrew went to Jesus. Jesus invited him to come and stay. He followed Jesus. And Andrew, always the go-between, went first to his own brother Simon. "We have found the Messiah," he told him. And the rest is history. Throughout the villages of Galilee and Samaria and Judea, he would follow this man and witness his love, his words of life, his cleansing of lepers, his power over demons, his raising the dead, his forgiving sins, his feeding 5,000 with five loaves and two fish. He would eat with this Jesus one last supper, and then see the world darken on the day of his death as the Lamb of God took away the sins of the world. He would see this Jesus alive again, see him ascend into heaven. Church tradition then places the later ministry of Andrew in various places through Central Europe and around the Black Sea, where even then, as an apostle, he would continue his humble work of being a go-between and saying to others, "Come, we have found the Messiah." There's nothing flashy about St. Andrew, outshone by his brother, never speaking an original word in his life, apparently, at least by the New Testament pages, just repeating messages from one person to another. Oh, but the events that he was caught up in. Oh, but the Savior he met that day when John the Baptist elbowed him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." This Sunday, we enter into another church year, and the Baptist cry will be echoing in our churches and in our ears. "Comfort, comfort," says your God. "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Dear friends, in this new church year, no matter what other sorrows life may bring us, may Andrew's joy be ours as well. We have found the Messiah. Amen.